The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello and welcome in to our Leach Report for Friday. Not a football Friday today because the Wildcats are off this Saturday. They will take on Vanderbilt in 8 days. We'll get back into the discussion of that matchup when we get rolling next week. Coming up on the show today, we'll chat with Kyle Tucker, now writing for The Athletic. And he had a great story about Benny Snell last week that I want to talk to him a little bit about, as well as Kentucky basketball, Media Day yesterday, Madness tonight. We'll chat with him about that. Tony Delk's going to join us. We'll talk with him about, you know, what Madness is like, the upcoming season. Tony's got a book out that he's going to be signing tonight downtown, so we'll tell you about that. Kara Heisenbuttel from Keeneland will join us, and we'll try to work in a little sound from Basketball Media Day, maybe another player interview or two. That's our guest lineup today, presented by Sleep Outfitters here on the Leach Report. Wildcat News of the Day, that's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. It is Big Blue Madness tonight at Rupp Arena. UK Network will have the preview show, the blue carpet, and all of that. So look for that through ukathletics.com, where you can also get the parking information. We told you a little bit about that yesterday, but you should really check that out because going to be some issues, not just tonight, but all season long to deal with because of this ongoing construction project at Rupp. Yesterday was Media Day, and John Calipari said he's happy that he is not coaching effort with this team. I think Mike and I talked about that when we saw the games down in the Bahamas and saw some of the practices, that this would not be a team that he would have to push to play hard. And part of that is there's so much competition for spots. You know, you got to work hard to get minutes, and then you have to work maybe even harder to keep them. Cal, though, yesterday talked about just how about that and how he likes this team.
People that the guys that did the combine, the NBA crew that came in, all those coaches, they looked and said, it looks as though Cal's really enjoying coaching this group. Well, when you don't have to coach effort, when you don't have to coach the enthusiasm, the passion you have to play with, when you don't have to coach a competitive spirit, fight, go, come on, dive on that. I don't have to coach that with this team. So now you know what you're coaching? Basketball. So now you coach basketball. And I love coaching basketball. That other stuff is like having to take the guy to the dentist, open your mouth, take the needle. I mean, it's painful for them and it's painful for me. This is going to hurt me much more than it hurts you. But the reality of it is when you're coaching basketball and they're trying to do what you're asking them to do, and they're literally, these dudes are like, we're having to kind of get in between, like stop, you know. But after it's over, they're great. But that's what you're looking, fight like heck on this court, make each other better, compete. You try to beat him every day, he's trying to beat you every day. If he's beating you, you better get in the gym more, because eventually he's going to leave you in the dust. Yet when it's over, we're all together, we're family. And that's how they've been doing it. So yeah, I am excited that way.
That was John Calipari, and Tyler Hero, you remember earlier this week, or maybe it was yesterday when we were playing the interview with him, he talked about how he and Keldon go at it and then best of friends when they come off the court. So that's what Cal's talking about there. He said last year's team never really got empowered, which is the word that he likes to use. And it's not surprising. It's not a slam on those guys. They were almost all freshmen. It was the same way, really, in 2014. That team just kind of gelled, got hot right at the end of the year. You know, this team might have had the same thing. They lost a close game to Kansas State. Had they pulled that out, they might have got on a little bit of a run. but teams that young, it's they kind of stay in search of a little bit longer than most. So this is a team with more experience, and I think that's why he's got the situation that he has. He says that this team resembles some of his UMass teams with the edge that they play with, chip on their shoulder. That's something Seth Greenberg talked about here on the show earlier this week. He said Keldon Johnson was full go for practice yesterday, so that was good to hear. He had that ankle issue, turned an ankle at the pro day last weekend. So again, media day yesterday, madness tonight, and the blue-white game is a week from Sunday night. Football recruiting, as Justin Rowland predicted yesterday here on the show, Jared Casey from Louisville Ballard picked Oregon. Defensive tackle Kavon Butler, that we also talked about yesterday from Toledo, he, according to reports, is going to visit UK this weekend. Might be an official visit, maybe not. He may just come on his own. Matthew Hurt, by the way, not going to be one of the visitors to Big Blue Madness. Apparently there was a mix-up in some of the reporting from what I read, and he is still planning to visit, but I guess the reports I've read is that he was never planning to come to Madness, but he will visit later. And women's soccer, Arkansas over Kentucky 4-0. Last night. Links to the stories that we talk about, you can find those on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Kyle Tucker joins us when we come right back. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. If you get folks together to watch games or for tailgating, let Wild Eggs cater. And they have a new number for catering. Here it is, 859-312-7288. Groups eight or more, competitive prices for delivery and setup. Wild Eggs, in Hamburg or in Palomar. We'll be right back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at TomLeachKY.
16 after the top of the hour, as we welcome in Kyle Tucker to the program. If you are following on Twitter, it's now Kyle_ATH. Now, that's not suggesting that Kyle's being recruited as an athlete that could play a variety of positions, but that he has a new employer, right?
That's right. Definitely not being recruited as any sort of an athlete. But, yes, I'm writing for The Athletic now and having a lot of fun doing it.
Well, you had a great story. We'll start with the story you did last week on Benny. Used one of the facts out of there on the broadcast last week where you noted that the top nine running backs from the year Benny came out as a high school player in Ohio didn't have as many touchdowns as he has by himself for his career. But a lot of other good things in there about what drives Benny Snell and some good quotes from his high school coach. What were some of the most interesting quotes or facts that you came away with?
Well, the best thing was, you know, his mom brought out all these old pictures of him and his dad. They both were football players from a young age. And showed me all these old pictures, and then she slides one across the table of him in basically a full head-to-toe, perfect replica Ohio State jersey when he was, or uniform when he was about 10 years old with the silver helmet and everything. I mean, he really wanted to be a Buckeye for a long, long time. And you know, I knew that, the slight was, you know, some motivation for him. But I don't think I realized how much until I talked to him and then went up to Westerville, Ohio, and talked to the people around him. But, you know, his high school coaches kind of tried to downplay it for a long time. And when I told him what Benny said about how if he got to New York for the Heisman, the best part about it would be being able to say, "I told you so," to people like Ohio State that doubted him. He said, "Well, I wish you wouldn't say that, but yeah, that's, you know, I've tried not to say it, but yes, that is the main thing that motivates him." And so that was interesting, just how that has just stuck with him for so long. And the idea that he was too slow and all those things. And also just to go kind of see, I mean, his dad looked like he could still play in the NFL. And I went to the place where he trained him as a kid. It's a huge staircase that runs up the side of, not the Hoover Dam, but a Hoover Dam in, Westerville, Ohio. It's 98 steps to the top. And he would have young Benny run those forward and backward several times and carrying weights and all this stuff. And, you can see why Benny's so, such a physical specimen and such a tough runner.
And why people bounce off those legs.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and it's one thing to be motivated by not being recruited by the school that you wanted to play for. And I'm sure it was a motivation for Randall Cobb down there just north of Tennessee, and for Chris Lofton in Maysville, Kentucky. But it's another thing to be able to actually channel that into the level of excellence that, you know, those guys produced and that we're seeing from Benny.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is, you know, it has propelled him. I mean, there's a lot of other things. I think he was going to be a really good player in college regardless. I mean, this is a guy who is playing in Ohio, a very good football state, and had, you know, 4,000 yards over his last two seasons and 50-some touchdowns. He's a really good player that people just had questions about his speed. But I do think he, you know, he's managed to use that when maybe when he's thinking about the extra rep in the gym or the extra, you know, trying to plow forward for the extra yard. I think that sort of, maybe not specifically thinking of Ohio State, but sort of the general idea that he's doubted lingers in the back of his mind, and he has been able to use that. And now he's a guy that I think any program in America would gladly take on their roster.
Amen to that. How crazy, I mean, we're about to move into the age of more sports betting, it seems, and I wonder what kind of odds you could have gotten on this particular thing happening that I'm about to tell you. If the football season plays out really well and they end up beating Georgia and winning the East, it's conceivable, because it would probably take, you know, big game from Benny Snell to do that. It would be conceivable that Kentucky could have the coach, offensive and defensive players of the year in the Southeastern Conference. I wonder what the odds of that would have been.
Yeah, I think you could have gotten some some
astronomical
really good odds on that. Yes, yes, and you know, I think Benny's in a tough spot for player of the year, because, and also when it comes to the Heisman race, because what Tua's doing at Alabama is just absurd. I don't think he's played in the fourth quarter yet. He's completing a ridiculous percentage. He's essentially been a perfect quarterback so far, and Alabama being ranked number one. But I think if Tua was not in the league, Benny would probably be the favorite.
Yeah.
Benny or Josh Allen. I mean, Kentucky might have the number two and three guys in the league for SEC Player of the Year.
You know, in baseball, you have to have a certain number of at-bats to like qualify for the batting title. Maybe Tua's not qualified if he doesn't play in the fourth quarter. You mentioned Josh Allen. Our friend John Hale had tweeted out something a little bit while ago that you reacted to on Twitter about Mel Kiper now has Josh up to number 14 on his big board. And it is just amazing when you consider the fact that the only other school that offered him a scholarship was Monmouth.
That one is really hard to believe. I mean, I guess you sort of get it. I know his high school coach was sort of stupefied that was the case, but he was also 60 pounds lighter back then.
Yeah.
The transformation he's made from two-star recruit to, you know, projected top 15 pick in the NFL draft has been incredible. And, you know, I think this one will be the one that Mark Stoops points to. You know, he had some guys at Florida State like this. Bjorn Warner was sort of his example before. It was kind of a middling three-star recruit who became a high first-round draft pick. Kind of the same kind of story as Josh Allen. And this is – Bud was a guy he could sort of point to, but he didn't recruit Bud. Bud had already been playing at Kentucky for a couple of years, and he'd already, you know, transitioned over to defense and all those things. I think now we can look back and say, well, they probably get a lot of credit for Bud too, but this one is all on – Stoops. You know, he gets all the credit for finding this guy, for developing this guy, and it's one of the more impressive ones you've ever, you know, transformations you could see. A two-star recruit with one very very average offer and 60 pounds lighter, and now he's this kind of totally intimidating guy who, even when he doesn't make the play, is impacting the game, because they're having, and it's what John wrote about, teams are having to do all this crazy stuff to try to stop him. They're holding him all the time. They're false starting because of him. His impact, like the last game, his stats to me were totally, it was like four tackles and no tackles for loss, and I thought he was impacting what A&M did on almost every snap.
But they didn't hold him. A&M didn't have to hold him.
Right.
Let's get to a quick break. Kyle Tucker's with us. We'll be right back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, and it's served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Back with Kyle Tucker, now writes for The Athletic. It's a subscription-based service with some great reads, but the appeal is, yeah, you're subscribing, but you're not dealing with pop-up ads on The Athletic. So nope. That's a good trade-off. You're covering the Cats, obviously. Are you covering SEC as well or anything else other than UK football and basketball?
I'm pretty heavily focused on Kentucky. I'm sure I'll jump into some other SEC stuff. I think I'm going to be down in Birmingham next week for SEC basketball media days. I'll probably do some more league-wide type stuff there. But my primary focus is the Cats.
And a podcast through the Locked Up Network with Curtis Birch that's daily, right?
Yeah, Locked On Kentucky. We're Monday through Friday. Quick. Little bites for people. They're about a little less than 30 minutes a day, so we're having a lot of fun with that as well.
Let's talk about basketball. Media day yesterday. Anything that was particularly noteworthy that you took away from it?
The confusion over the pronunciation of depth was funny with Cal from the Eastern Kentucky question asker. Their interaction. The kid reporter was great. Teaching Cal the word sass. I found it strange that Calipari had never, I know it's a Southern word, but did not know the word sass.
Yeah. I agree.
That was interesting. I think it's just, there was a lot more, reinforcement of the idea that I think we all kind of recognized for months now that Cal really likes this team. He talked about sort of the chip on the shoulder. Seth Greenberg had been on the podcast and told me that he thought Cal really thought this team reminded him of his old UMass teams that he really liked, and I asked him about that, and he said, you know, those teams had an edge and a chip on their shoulder. They felt like because we were UMass, we didn't get our due, and even before I could sort of ask the logical follow-up, like how does a bunch of five-star guys in Kentucky have a chip, you know, have chips on their shoulders, he said, you know, we have highly ranked guys, but they think there are some guys who are ranked ahead of them that, hey, why, they're not better than me, and they want to prove it. I thought that was interesting. And while he sort of downplayed the Duke opener, that's all about Duke. You know, Duke signed the number one class. I mean, Kentucky, in almost any other year, Kentucky would have had the number one class, but Duke signed the, you know, number one, two, and three players in the country and, another top 15 player and another top 40 player. And people, you know, widely view that as the best incoming freshman class. And guys like Keldon Johnson, Emmanuel Quickley, Ashton Hagans, they have kind of chip on their shoulder guys, and they're looking for that slight. And that simple little thing, that, you know, handful of spots above them in the rankings, I think it's in their mind. And they really want, whatever they're going to say publicly, they really want Duke in this opener, and they really want to test themselves against R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish and Zion Williamson, because they know all the hype is on those guys. And if you look at a list of the top freshmen, they're either not many or any Kentucky guys on it. It's pretty in a pretty rare situation, and all of those Duke guys are. And so, to some degree, the chip on their shoulder is all about that group of guys that's at Duke, and it all kind of comes to a head in the very first game of the season.
Kyle, thank you much.
Thank you.
Kyle Tucker at The Athletic. We'll be right back with more of the Leach Report.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Just a perfect fall day yesterday out at Keeneland with the dip in temperatures and more of the same on tap today, but that's not the only reason to go out to Keeneland for the Friday card. Kara Heisenbuttel joins us now from Keeneland. If you're a college student, you most definitely want to be there today, right?
That's right. College students get free general admission to Keeneland today with their college ID, and we're sending them down to the North Terrace to register for scholarships. We have 10 $1,000 scholarships and two that are worth $10,000 today.
Wow. That would be a nice, mom and dad would be happy to get that phone call.
Mom and dad would be happy. It's a really exciting day. So as students register, they get a free T-shirt or hat. We've got food vendors out here. live music. And then in addition to all the scholarships, we'll be giving away thousands of dollars of prizes after each race of the day.
A lot of college kids head out to Keeneland every weekend. The Hill is the real popular gathering spot, and I'm sure that's been going great guns.
Yes, the Hill is very exciting. Kids love to come and tailgate and enjoy all the activities that we have on the Hill. We're encouraging them to come down to the track early today, though, and make sure they get scanned in so they're eligible for the majority of the scholarships that we're giving away throughout the day, and maybe save the tailgating for afterwards.
First post is at 1:05, so if you're a college student, you want to get signed up, get a chance at all of the scholarship drawings. Yesterday was Make-A-Wish Day, and that's always one of the really sweet days of the meet when you have these families that have so much on their plate to deal with, and they get honored, and a lot of the horse farms participated in this yesterday, right?
Yes, it was a wonderful day. We had 11 Make-A-Wish children here, and we were able to raise around $130,000 for the Make-A-Wish program that will stay with children right here in Central Kentucky.
And if you didn't get out yesterday, you can still go to the website, I'm sure, to the Make-A-Wish website and just contribute to the cause. Any other special events for the remainder of the weekend beyond College Scholarship Day today?
We do. We have Sunrise Trackside on Saturday morning, so we encourage fans to come out and have breakfast and enjoy just a beautiful morning with workouts. And, of course, we have a spectacular race card on Saturday. And on Sunday, we have Kids Club Family Day. So if you haven't yet signed up for the Keeneland Kids Club, it's a free membership, and the entire family gets in free on Sunday, and it should be a lot of fun.
Kara, thank you much.
Thank you, Tom.
Go to Keeneland.com to get details, or just follow Keeneland on a variety of social media platforms. There's at Keeneland, where you get a lot of the information about things Kara's talking about. There's at Keeneland Racing, which is more race-specific. So several different media platforms on Twitter and elsewhere that you can follow to keep up with what is going on out at Keeneland. And we'll... Since we don't have a football game to talk about, we'll make our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Freaky Fast Friday fact about Keeneland. Horse today running in the seventh race called Mr. Cub that might be able to get you a little money because he is 2-for-2 on the Keeneland grass course. We'll be hosting the Today at Keeneland show coming up at 11:30 on TVG and Keeneland.com with Jesse Ullery. I think it replays here in Lexington on CWKYT at noon. And we'll be analyzing the Friday card. The Jimmy Johns folks have a new location, by the way, here in Lexington at 105 North Mill Street, and they do downtown delivery. So if you're in the downtown Lexington area and working and you can't get away for lunch, just call Jimmy Johns. They'll bring it to you, and you will love it. That's going to get us to a break. We're about 22 away from the top of the hour. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, Hamburg, and in the Palmer Center as well. When we come back, we'll chat with UK Hall of Famer Tony Delk on the Leach Report.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
UK Baseball tweeting out there will be an intra-squad scrimmage this afternoon at 3:15 in the new stadium. And then Sunday, they are going to play an exhibition game against Michigan. And if you can't get by to see it, you can listen to Darren Hedrick with the call via ukathletics.com and the app. Or if you're in the Lexington area, WLAP AM 630, our flagship station, will have the call as well with Darren calling Kentucky-Michigan baseball. Tony Delk joins us now. He'll be signing copies of his book, The Story Shooter, The Story Behind the Double Zeros, at Your Frame of Mind in the shops next to Rupp Arena tonight. If you're heading down for Madness, make sure to go early and check out Tony, the UK Hall of Famer. Tony Delk joins us on the line. So, Tony, what was it that motivated you to write a book?
Well, you know, I think just growing up in a small town, and I want to give everyone the hope of, you know, living a dream. And it doesn't matter if you're from a big city or from California, New York. I think if you do something, put the time in, you're dedicated, you sacrifice a lot of your time and definitely just life. I think just having the right friends, you know, having a community, family, behind you. All that makes a difference, you know, and I think I just want to give readers an opportunity, especially the young youth, just the structure and the discipline I had growing up. And I think it's always important, you know, for kids, you know, especially this generation, to know how much hard work is required.
Brownsville, Tennessee, right?
Yes, sir. Brownsville it is.
And how big's Brownsville?
Brownsville, we try to give ourselves 10,000, but probably between 8,000 and 9,000. You know, 10,000 sounds better than 8,000. But it was growing up in a small town and just having so much support, you know, from my coaches, my teachers, having great brothers, Ricky, Leslie, and David. Some of my really good friends, Reginald P., Kendall Dancy, Willie Douglas. Those guys really helped mold me as an individual, you know, and it wasn't any peer pressure that I think kids are faced with now. You know, I had a bunch of guys that looked out for my best interests and made sure that, you know, I made the right decisions. And, you know, like I said, I was motivated. You know, I think I fell in love with basketball at an early age, and I think that gave me so much drive and so much determination. And, you know, to be successful, it starts with a great foundation. So I think my parents, Leslie and Florence, Delp.
And there was something like the Nike camp, I'm sure, at when you were coming up as a young basketball player. But there weren't all the travel teams and things that we see now, right?
Well, it's kind of funny. You know, my story is so different from so many other, you know, NBA players and current NBA players and guys going to make it to NBA. I only played 2 years of AAU basketball. And coming from a small town of Brownsville, I had to travel an hour down the road to play in Memphis. And I got a chance to play with a really good team, Memphis YMCA, who had some really talented players and had two really good summers. You know, so my two good summers led to me being one of the top players in the country. And I was that unknown guy that played for a while with the Memphis team. And my first year as a AAU player, I was an AAU All-American. Then the next year, my following season, I came out and I was the most outstanding player. So it was having two really good summers, but it started with me having you know, being taught the game from my older brothers, who two of them played NAIA basketball at Lambert College in Jackson, Tennessee. And then the brother who didn't play was the brother I spent more time with Leslie Delk. And there was a brother that taught me just, you know, the hard work, the determination, playing the game the right way. He played a lot of one-on-one, and he kicked my butt for years before I was able to beat him. But I had some really good, you know, the player development that I teach in Atlanta, you know, that's what I try to make sure that kids know how to pass, shoot, and dribble, and understand how to play the game the right way.
Talking with Tony Delk. He's going to be signing copies of his book, Shooter, the story behind the double zeros, at your Frame of Mind Gallery tonight down on the first floor of the shops next to Rupp Arena. So swing by there on your way to Madness to check out the Cats. And we got a chance to see him through four games in the Bahamas. Did you get a chance to see much of that? And if so, what'd you think?
Well, I was watching some of the highlights, and, you know, seemed like Sheldon Johnson is a really competitive, eager guy to make this team, you know, one of the best teams in the country. And then just bringing back, you know, you bring back a Quad A, you know, you bring back a PJ Washington, you bring back that experience, and then bringing in Travis Reed, another experienced guy that comes transfer from Stanford, you know, so you have a good combination of youth, skill, and, you know, the shooting ability is what I guess a lot of people around here have been raving about. I haven't gotten a chance to see most of those guys, but it seems like it's going to be a team that can fill it up from the outside. I know they're going to get out and run, you know, just because of that's how Coach Cal teams have always done, you know, play extremely well in transition and being able to defend. I think they're going to have a lot of early tests, but you know, if those guys can really, you know, find a niche early. And, you know, I think with Coach Cal, as talented as these guys are, you know, he does a tremendous job of getting players to buy in, especially with the younger generation coming in. You know, it's a little bit hard because all these guys have been the best player on the AAU teams or the high school program. But coming here, you know, he gets those guys to sacrifice for the good of the team. I think that's where he's always excelled at as a coach.
So, Tony, I know folks can get copies of the book if they come by your Frame of Mind tonight. What time do you start?
I'm going to be there early. I'll probably be there around 4:30, but I think you start the signing at 5 o'clock. So it's a great book, great read. You know, I'll be there signing. And also we're going to have tomorrow a family fall fest for those adults and kids. It's a family fall fest, 5500 Erie Lane in Brazil, Kentucky. It goes 12-6, and we're going to have Miss Kentucky, Katie Bouchard, stop by. A lot of my friends will be coming. So we have two big events, like I said, the signing today along with the Madness, and tomorrow will be our Family Fall Fest in Versailles, Kentucky. So if you have time tomorrow, and I guess some people will be going to Keeneland, but if not, you know, that Family Fall Fest will be going on at the Wildside Winery in 5500 Erie Lane in Versailles, Kentucky. So make sure you stop by, and I'll be signing books there as well.
Good deal. Tony, thank you much. Good luck with it.
I appreciate you, Tom. Take care of yourself.
It's Tony Delk. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back. We'll hear a player interview from P.J. Washington when we come right back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. We're going to bring another player interview. We had a chance to sit down with the guys one-on-one last month. It was Guy Ramsey and I doing this particular interview with P.J. Washington.
I'm a lot more comfortable. I feel like last year I had no idea what to expect coming in, and now I know exactly what to expect from every game, everything Cal says. I mean, I kind of finish his sentences now. I mean, I just come in and just try to be aggressive in practice and just try to help these young guys get better.
So what is that look like for you, helping the young guys get better, having that year of experience under your belt?
Just being a vocal leader on both ends. Even if I'm playing against them, I'm trying to help them. Just tell them what to do. Tell them how to play screens and stuff like that. And just be confident in themselves and be confident in others and just try to go out and just win every possession.
Nice is it to have a little bit of experience under you, but not only with you three, but also with Reed. Some people have had some success at this level.
Yeah, I mean, Reed's been definitely good for all of us. I mean, he's definitely obviously been here longer than all of us. So just to pick his brain a little bit has been great for the young guys. And obviously, we've been helping them as well. So, I mean, just going out here and just trying to have their minds focused for the first game has definitely been a great stepping stone for us.
You keep talking about this freshman class is, you know, always up for a good time, always up to give someone a hard time. How much has that kind of changed the dynamic around the team and how valuable do you think that is?
I mean, they're all playful. They all have energy. So, I mean, I feel like Keldon is like that from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night. So he's just bringing the energy every day, which is great for us. He did it in the Bahamas, and he's doing it in class, too. So, I mean, it's just funny to be around him.
Having been through this experience last year and now seeing those guys come in new, when you look at them, what do you think, having, you know, gone through these experiences? Do you sometimes shake your head or think, he doesn't know what it's really like yet?
Yeah, I honestly think they don't know what it's like at all. I mean, we try to tell them, but, I mean, it's something you have to experience for yourself. The first thing they'll get it and within the first 5 minutes that this is real, that you got to go out there and play your hardest every possession, and there's no let-ups. I mean, that was the biggest thing for me last year, and I feel like it's going to be a big thing for all of them this year, that you got to go out and just play their games.
They've got you and Nick and Quade that have been through this and others to lean on, and even a guy like Reed who's a newcomer but has a lot of experience. How's that going to help them versus the situation you were in last year when you guys were just so young?
Yeah, I mean, last year, I mean, it was pretty much all freshmen and then like two sophomores. But this year we have guys that know what it's like. They can pick our brains a little bit. And last year we just had to go out and just figure it out ourselves. So, I mean, that was the biggest difference here. And then obviously we had the Bahamas, which helped us a lot. So, I mean, they kind of got a taste of it a little bit. But it's definitely going to be easier for them, I guess.
It seems like a real kind of fun-loving group, kind of likes to cut up. Is that different from the makeup of the team last year?
Yeah, I mean, last year I honestly think we just didn't know what was happening. I mean, we didn't realize what was going on, and we didn't have as much fun as these guys are having this year. But they're having fun with it every step of the way, joking about every little thing, and it's just been fun to be around.
Probably makes it a little easier though for them because they've got some of those veteran assets that you guys didn't have.
Yeah, they do. I mean, we try to make it easy for them in the classroom, in practice and stuff like that, because we all know we can all finish Cal sentences now. So, I mean, we're just trying to help them get better and basically just play like to their own abilities, I guess.
How much is the work ethic of this group kind of contagious? It seems a couple guys have talked about how if they're not working, they feel like they're going to start getting left behind.
Yeah, I mean, Cal tells them, lets them know that every day, that if you don't work, you're definitely going to get left behind. And every time I come in the gym, you see a certain number of guys in here, so that just pushes everybody to be in here earlier and work harder and just go out and just play more. And just, I feel like the more time you get on the court, the better you're going to get, and we all feel the same, so that's what we've been doing.
A lot of people have talked about the competitiveness of this group, too, like away from the court. What is your favorite thing to compete in with this group away from the court?
We all play video games. We all play Fortnite, Call of Duty, 2K. I mean, we all we're competitive in pretty much everything, so I feel like that's great for us. We know each other a lot better just because of playing video games. So, I mean, we do that all the time.
Who's your favorite person to beat on the team in video games?
Probably Keldon, because he can't take it. He can't take losing, so it's just hilarious watching him lose.
What's your game going to look like in a way, ways that are different when people see you versus the last time they saw you last year?
A lot more confident in my ability to shoot the ball and be able to guard 1-5 and just switching on smaller guys and just being able to stay in front and just being more vocal on both ends of the floor.
Everybody comes here aspires to play at the next level. What was it like going through that experience of being evaluated? How did that help you?
I learned a lot. I mean, I learned what guys in the NBA at my size do and how they stay in the league a long time. And they basically said, like I said, they need to be able to guard 1-5 and be able to shoot the ball. So that's the biggest things I've been working on. And just trying to lead these guys is another key I've been working on as well. So, I mean, those are pretty much how I've been trying to get better.
PJ Washington there. Before we close it out, let's get one more clip from Basketball Media Day yesterday. And this was John Calipari talking about Mark Stoops and what the football team's doing.
Oh, it's been great. Can I say this? I called Mark after the Texas A&M game. And if you're a coach, when you lose, don't call me and tell me it was good, and I don't want to hear that. Like, and if I see somebody on my phone and I know that's what they're going to try to do, I hit the eat poop button. Like, no, I'm not talking to you. Okay? So I text to Mark what I saw, that the first touchdown they scored was okay. Your defense, I thought, balled, but they were on the field too long. It wasn't your best game, and you still went to overtime with the chance to win. Incredible. Best thing, the culture. Everybody was mad and angry. Do you remember where 2 years ago we'd be sad and disappointed? It wasn't no sad now. Everybody, their staff was mad. Their players were mad. Our fans were mad. The culture has just changed in football. The best thing that came out of it was Benny. In basketball, we call it touches. He didn't get a whole lot of touches. And he is like a Heisman candidate. Now, the game ends, they lose. The last play was, okay. And Benny, I can't imagine what he did in the locker room. But I know this, in front of the media, he said everything the right way because he was thinking about his team. That is big. Big when you're a Heisman candidate and you don't get the touches and the team loses. Because the kid wants a win. And he knew if I had the ball, give me the ball twice in that situation. I don't care. Let the lineman fall down. But he never said a word. And I told Mark that. I said, you guys are in a great place, man. What you've done. And I said, keep reminding everybody it's taken you 6 years. That wasn't a 2-year turnover. It's been 6 years.
That was Coach Cal at Media Day yesterday. That'll wrap us up. Have a great weekend. If you're heading out to Keeneland, whatever, we'll be back at Wild Eggs in